Welcome into the Grow Room with Bob and Jay. Hi, I'm Bob Bubka. So proud to be here with Jay Randolph Jr., much better known as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Well, Jay, after the rush to the finish with the PGA Championship, the Tour Championship, and of course our United States Open, it seems like we're in a tournament lull right now. Of course, the guys playing wouldn't agree with us, including Sergio Garcia. And, Jay, what a week he had.
Well, Bob, you're definitely right. I mean, a huge week for Sergio. Really, when you look at three of the four events that have happened since the Tour Championship, and you kind of can't got to throw out the U.S. Open in a sense, Stewart Cink, Hudson Swafford, and Sergio Garcia, really, in a sense, kind of shots in the dark. Not to take anything away from Sergio, but, you know, he's played some consistent golf since the return back. But this was a big win for him, and he got it done on a Sunday.
You know, it's so amazing when I think back to Sergio. I first got to meet him at the U.S. Amateur up in Rochester, and he was brought into the media room, and there was a little bit of confusion. There was a couple of players. Craig Smith was head of media for the USGA then, and he was running around. He was a little nervous because he was going to have Sergio wait. And all of a sudden, I watched this young 18-year-old kid go up to Craig Smith and say, Mr. Smith, it'll work out. I'll wait. Don't worry about it. I mean, the 18-year-old was taking charge and calming things down. So, you know, he's been a superstar for a long time. And I was saddened to learn during the playing of the Sanderson Farms, Jay, that Sergio's dad lost two of his brothers to the COVID disease. I mean, you know, that's really hard to take. I mean, two in one family. I mean, one loss is certainly bad enough, but you know, you combine two of Sergio's uncles, kind of rough. Probably set Sergio back for quite a while.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's very close with his dad, Victor, and you'd have to think with the family, and they're a pretty tight knit family, but. Well, it's hard to believe. The guy's 40. We saw him at such a young age. He's been doing this for a long time. Finally got the major, and he's back in the winner's circle. Let's hear from the winner, Sergio Garcia.
Obviously, the perfect ending for an amazing week. I knew that I needed to birdie one of the last two or three to get ahead. But then I stood up on 18 and I did what I've been doing all week. You know, I trusted myself. I aim down the right side of the fairway and just hit a hard draw. Really, really nice drive. It actually went quite long because it was playing a little bit into the wind, and it gave me the possibility to have an 8-iron into the green instead of having a 6 or something like that. And then just hit, funny enough, well, my last win on the PGA Tour at Augusta, you know, the 8-iron on 15. This time it was the 8-iron on 18. So, and to almost hit the pin again and to hit it that close, obviously it was a dream come true. Like I said, I was very confident throughout the whole week. I was believing in myself the whole week. You know, I obviously hit a bad putt on 6 for par, but I stuck with it. I kept going. I kept believing. I kept telling myself, you're doing great. And, you know, just keep doing what you're doing. It's great. So you're not going to make every single putt. So, you know, I was able to come up with some great shots and some great key putts on the back nine to win it. Well, it's obviously it's obviously a boost of confidence. There's no doubt. Every time you play well, even if I would have not won it, I still would have been a massive high for me this week to be able to do a lot of the things that I did. You know, it meant a lot. It showed me a lot of what I still have and what I still can do. So it's obviously exciting. I'm finally very happy with equipment that I have in my bag, with everything that I'm playing. I feel like I'm starting to be the old me, being able to hit shots from every angle, and you know, obviously it's exciting.
I mean, Jay, you know as well as anybody, you played this game at a very high level. To be able to stand on the 72nd hole with the tournament hanging in the balance and hit an 8-iron inside of 3 feet, I mean, that's just an unbelievable feeling.
Well, and there's no doubt about it. And when he drives the ball and has that confidence, he's very dangerous. And, you know, this has to spark a little bit of the passion towards Augusta for Sergio. And I think he's probably, as I said, maybe had been off the radar a little bit, but there'll be a lot of people taking a look at Sergio the week of the Masters.
And he did something unusual. There was a lot of talk about the fact that Sergio was putting with his eyes closed. We found out he's been doing that for a better part of 3 years, and here's his explanation of why he puts with his eyes closed.
Yeah, most of the times, but then sometimes when it starts feeling... But I start feeling really well, really good. I think maybe I can just do it with my eyes open and kind of do it normal. Well, I mean, I guess my eyes closed is probably normal for me now. But then I realized that, you know, I get too caught up in trying to make it too perfect instead of just letting myself do it. And, you know, you don't have to hit a perfect putt every time to be able to make it, you know, that's what I've been working on, and that's what I'm gonna keep working on. So don't worry, I'm still gonna be putting with my eyes closed for probably a long time.
What about you, Jay? Did you ever get to the point where you thought you'd be better off with your eyes closed?
No, I didn't get that bad. Maybe I should have. I did practice like that sometimes, where you wait for the sound of the ball to then, you know, look up. I remember Johnny Miller winning the AT&T Pebble Boat Beach Pro-Am, and on putts with inside 10 feet, he looked at the hole, stared at the hole as he hit the putt. So there's a lot of ways to skin a cat. We've talked about that with Bryson and his belief in what he's doing. And clearly this is working for Sergio, at least right now. So good for him.
Yeah, the only thing that I've ever known to be a surefire success, keeping your eyes closed, was whenever you went on a blind date.
that way you don't know whether you're good or bad. You're right.
Well, you're good. You're good unless you open up. Anyway, Sergio changed his schedule. It should have been the week after the Ryder Cup. Of course, there was no Ryder Cup. And that change ended up being a victory. Pretty good stuff. Here's what he had to say about that.
Well, the Ryder Cup should have been last week. I probably should have been in Europe if things would have been normal. Because of COVID and everything, it kind of changed my schedule a little bit, and you know, I'm able to play a few tournaments in the fall. You know, it was really, really great to be here, to play the way I played, to believe in myself the way I did, and you know, really, really proud.
You know, Jay, he is good for the game. There's no doubt about it.
No doubt. No, you're right, because he's a electrifying figure. There are a lot of people that don't maybe necessarily have affection for Sergio. There are some that do. There are some like me that are kind of in between, that feel like he should have won more and maybe have a couple of more major championships based on what we saw early on in the pedigree. But you cannot deny the fact that Sergio's a battler. He's had some bumps along the road, some of those self-created, but at the age of 40, he's back in the winner's circle. He's got momentum moving towards Augusta and momentum, hopefully, for 2021.
Well, one guy you have to feel for, though, Jay, Peter Malnati, he shoots 63 in the final round, gets finished almost 2 hours ahead of Sergio, and had to hang around and wait to see if it was going to be good enough. Fortunately, he had his wife there and his little child to help distract him. But boy, that's a long wait, only to find out you're not going to win.
Well, it's been a long wait for him to have success. This was a guy that went to the University of Missouri that nobody really knew much about. And then all of a sudden, about 5 or 6 years after he graduated, he started having success and looked like he was going to be a consistent tour player. Had a couple of injuries, couple of setbacks. This was his first top 10 on the PGA Tour since the 2006 Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Now, they had to go back to the – he gets in this event because of his Sanderson Farms win in 2015 as a past champion. So while I understand what you're talking about, I think Peter Malinati would say the wait was worth it. I'll take my second, and I'll take my tour status.
Yeah, and certainly good play by Keegan Bradley and the 47-year-old wonder, former Open champion in that famous battle with Tom Watson at Turnberry. Stuart Sink tied for 12th. Stuart Sink, boy, he's more than a flash in a pan.
Like a second life. And boy, Keegan Bradley has been playing better. As I said earlier, it's been interesting. We were all kind of set up last year and over the summer and then into the start of the wraparound season talking about all the young guns, Cameron Champ and Morikawa and Matthew Wolf and on and on and on. And really, when you look at it, two superstars of the game in the latter portion, two guys that both have major championships, Sergio and Sink have won, and Hudson Swafford, who was just looking for some good news, got it back into the winner's circle in his 30s. So we'll see. I have a feeling that we might see youth being served in Sin City the next 2 weeks. But before we talk about that, let's tell you a little bit about where I hang my hat, and we'd love to see you if you're ever in the St. Louis area here at Gateway National.
Enjoy golf as it was meant to be played at Gateway National Golf Links, a stunning links-style course in the St. Louis area. After all, it is the number one public golf course in St. Louis, and it's the only one with bent grass fairways. Only public course in the region with bent grass fairways. Gateway National offers golfers the rare opportunity to return to the rich traditions of the game with rolling links in the heart of the country. Gentle mounds and plenty of tall grasses. Spacious fairways, and of course, when you play number three, well, you just aim for the Gateway Arch. That's right. The iconic St. Louis Arch is right there. Gateway National Golf Links, the number one public golf course in St. Louis and the only one with bent grass, with a friendly staff to make your day a memorable one, to make your tee time the best way and the best rates, are online at GatewayNational.com. Gateway National, always in great shape. And remember that website, GatewayNational.com. That's where you'll find the best rates, GatewayNational.com.
Well, Bobby, as I mentioned, be a dangerous week for you and I. It's the start of back-to-back weeks in Las Vegas. The players all in their own bubble, a no-contact bubble, but I have a feeling that those that want to play will find a way. And when I say play, I'm talking about on the felt, not on the bent. First up, Bob, it's the TPC Summerlin, a Shriners Hospital for Children, a special event out there, a signature in Vegas. Two of Kevin Na's PGA Tour wins have actually come here at the Shriners, 2011 and then 2019. He's also a resident in Vegas. And I'll tell you who I'm looking forward to seeing is Ricky Fowler. He's never missed a cut in four starts at the Shriners Hospital Open. He's got two top tens and most recently a T4 in 2018. And he needs some good juju.
You refer to it as Sin City, and I know that a lot of people that have never, ever been to Las Vegas, maybe you can enlighten our listeners a little bit. How did it earn its name, Sin City?
I don't know the exact origins. I know that many people, when in Las Vegas, would tend to have a little more fun than they did maybe at their in their hometown. I think that's fair to say.
You sound like you choked up a little bit about that description. But I'm glad you didn't ask me for a backup. That's for sure. We could write the book.
Yeah, I spent a month one night in Las Vegas, Nevada. So it's a unique spot. They'll be careful. You've got some really good pairings. Kevin Na, Patrick Cantlay, who there's a guy that seems to also really play well here at the Shriners Hospital, paired with Ricky Fowler, who I said needs a good showing. I mean, Ricky needs to play well. And then the Bombers group, oh, look out. It's going to be golf ball punishment there in the desert. Bryson DeChambeau, who won this event, by the way, in 2018. He's the favorite. He's got two wins in his last start, and the young Bombers, Cameron Champ and Matthew Wolf, are paired with him.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun for Champ and Wolf to play with DeChambeau. I mean, it's going to be almost like two tournaments, one to see who wins the event. The other is to see who hits it the furthest out of that threesome.
Well, and they don't mess around out here at this event at Summerlin. I mean, you better be going 4 or 5 under every day. It's going to take 20 to 25 under probably to win. You look at Webb Simpson and his just stellar continued success and play. He's a former champion here in Vegas, playing with young Morikawa, who lives in Vegas and works on his game out there. And then Joaquin Niemann, who actually missed the cut in 2019 at TPC Summerlin, and Sergio off his win next week, also in a featured pairing with the Aussie, Jason Day, and another guy who surprises me that he didn't win much more. That's Hideki Matsuyama.
Yeah, Hideki, certainly, I would think, underachieved at this point. So much scrutiny with the Japanese media on Hideki. It's just a matter of time before he breaks through. One quick thing on Webb Simpson. You know, he was the proponent of the anchor putting, and when the USGA took that away, he went into the doldrums a little bit. And now I think he's playing better golf than he ever has. It's kind of a pleasant surprise, probably even to Webb, with the realization that the anchor wasn't the best thing.
Well, he's a unique case study. I mean, you win the U.S. Open at a young age. The star looks so bright. And then he kind of just settled into a role, started having all those kids. I think he's got a five-pack, he and his wife. And then the last two or three years, especially the last two, we've seen a new Webb Simpson and a confident Webb Simpson, and he's dangerous every week, Bob. I mean, there are guys that play well for stretches, but Webb Simpson's been playing good for a couple of years, and it seems like almost every week, and he's got to be one of the favorites without question as a past champion. Should mention a young guy getting his chance to test the PGA Tour waters. I didn't know this until Janice sent it over. Parker Cootie. The grandson of the great Charles Cootie, the Masters champion in 1971, is getting to play in Vegas. Parker, and his twin brother Pearson are both juniors at Texas, so it's going to be pretty cool and should be fun.
Yeah, and you had you've been with Charles Cootie quite a bit, and actually a little bit of friend of his, right?
Yeah, he was, my dad and him were good friends, big Charles Cootie, big Texan, and solid player. I mean, again, in that era, really, where you look back and Jack and Arnold and to a certain extent Billy Casper dominated, but he got his green jacket in 1971.
Well, it's no surprise to me, Jay, that your dad and Charles Cootie were friends, both class acts from start to finish. Another name that's popped up, Jay, I find this interesting, Francisco Molinari, who played so well, winning the Open Championship and then paired with Tommy Fleetwood to dominate in the Ryder Cup. He's ending his 7-month absence from the game. He moved his household from London to Los Angeles with his wife and two school-age children. He's getting settled into everything that comes with such a move like that. But, he was a real talent. I have to correct myself. He is a real talent, and great to have him back out there playing.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting with him making the decision to call the United States his home base. I mean, that's not the thing guys did back in the day, Euros. They would mix and match and play both. And he still will play both. But he's going to call the U.S. his home place, and I think it's going to be a good move for him. I think in the next couple of years after settling in with those two kids, he's going to have a couple of good years. We should mention a lot of people were looking forward to seeing Tony Finau. He is out because of COVID, but you do have Paul Casey, Scottie Scheffler, Charlie Hoffman, who's always dangerous in the desert. And Bob, you mentioned Stuart Sink, who's back in a good way. And then the CJ Cup will be next week, the second Las Vegas event. They're going to upgrade golf courses a little bit. Not a shot at TPC Summerlin. It's fine, but they're heading over to Steve Wynn's Shadow Creek. So that will be fun. Of course, that's where a couple of the made-for-TV matches have been, especially the Tiger and Phil one a couple years ago.
Is there any truth to the rumor that there's a locker in Shadow Creek that has Jay Randolph Jr.'s name on it?
No, I wish there was. There probably should be with what I've spent at some of Mr. Wynn's establishments in the past. Maybe they could at least have a tee marker or something for me on the driving range.
Well, it's amazing, though. Already we have the Masters on the horizon, Jay, coming up in November. It's been overseeded with rye. Reports are from there. The grass is greening up nicely. It's going to be a whole new kettle of fish. A Masters being played in the month of November.
It's going to be so unique with less media, obviously the gallery situation, the way in which it'll be covered, start times different on Saturday because of football and all kinds of stuff. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm still enjoying what we're seeing. And I'm going to enjoy these couple of weeks in Vegas. But I think the golf world is pointing towards that final big event of this unique year, 2020. And I've been saying all year long, I've been saying since I first saw him at a high level that, you know, I believe there's a jacket in the closet already down there reserved for John Rahm. So I'm going to kind of stay with him as my pick, at least for now. You like anybody as we're a couple of weeks out?
Well, I'm going to have to see Bryson DeChambeau play different golf than he did at the U.S. Open at Wingfoot, because if he plays the same golf, nobody can beat him. I mean, there's nothing they can do to Augusta National to, you know, slow down Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, you know, just I look at just the first two holes, you know. The first being that tough par four, a little bit uphill after your tee shot. And, you know, he's going to have maybe 70, 80 yards in there. Second hole's a par five. He's probably going to have an 8 or 9 iron into the green. I mean, those are tough things to overcome if you're in the rest of the field.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, Bob, because we know that if he goes down there to Augusta and rips it apart, there will be changes. We're still waiting to see what the United States Golf Association does. But I think be in November, be a little cooler. It will be interesting. It's going to be it's the last big event of the year. It's the first time it's ever been, unless you're a U.S. Women's Open fan, which will be where you guys are in December. But, you know, it can't get here quick enough. Don't forget, if you'd like to drop us a line or give us your thoughts or opinion on the show, we'd love to hear from you. I'm STL Golf Geek on Twitter, while Bob, the VOG, the voice of golf, Bob Bubka, VOG. Check us out on Twitter.